You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, it is, It is the middle of the week. It is day of days. It is like you're halfway there. It is, go for it, Boomer.
Guess what day it is.
Yeah.
Guess what day it is. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
So, yeah, we're there. We're halfway to the weekend, you guys. So, congratulations for that. You're trucking right along. And so this is hump day, camel day.
It's a good day.
It's a good day. Boomer's on the board.
That's right. Hey, hump day's a good day.
Yike.
I'm good. It's a good day. We just have a good time in here. We were just chatting away beforehand.
Who was it? I still got the picture. Who was it that sent us the picture? They superimposed the camel in the background with me doing a thumbs up, you know?
And it's like, that was such a good picture.
That's awesome. Did we post that to the website?
I know we posted it somewhere.
Maybe on social media. We need to find it.
I need to find it again.
We got to post it.
Everywhere.
Yeah, we got to post that thing. All right. Hey, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. Several guests coming on. So 3 o'clock today, Todd Stacey. He is the publisher of Alabama Daily News. He'll be on with us at 3 o'clock to talk about some of the latest developments and what's going on with the redistricting fight and some really, in my opinion, sort of tacky developments with one particular legislator trying to tell everybody, well, I was trying to do it the right way and they wouldn't let me. It's just wacky. So we'll do that at 3 o'clock with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. Then at 4 o'clock, you know the deal. It's not only Campbell Day, it's Grand Council Day. So at 4 o'clock, the Grand Council with Jeff Poore and Dale Jackson, two of my brethren in talk radio, we get on here and opine and ping each other with questions and just see what kind of things happen. So yeah, 4 o'clock today, Grand Council, Jeff Poore, Dale Jackson, and then I've got a triple dipper. Hit it, buddy.
The Triple Dipper, three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the Triple Dipper, three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. So, number one, didn't get to it yesterday, but it's certainly worth doing. In fact, a few things happened overnight that I added to it. Number one, a walk in Biden's world. It is, it's not a safe world. It never really is. And I acknowledge the fact that the difficulty on the world stage is not isolated to the Biden administration. But difficulty on the world stage is made more difficult by a weak presidency, and that's where we are. In fact, I just got a text from the lovely Charlene, who just said that apparently the op-ed that came out on the Washington Post is calling for Biden not to run. So that's interesting. When the liberal Washington Post is saying, please, please make it stop. Anyway, a walk in Biden's world. That's number one, triple dipper. Number two, every once in a while, you got to look around and see what's happening in your own backyard. So we'll be cooking up a batch of home fries. I've got several things to cover with you. Good news stories and some difficult stories and some just flat out news stories. Things that are happening right here in Alabama. We'll talk about it. Some of that with Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. That's home fries, number two. And then number three, listen, I saw a story this morning about actor Chris Pratt, and it was like, man, that was cool, that was good. And then I realized there was another story about somebody else, and I thought, huh. And next thing you know, I developed an entire segment, and I'm just calling it Good Folks Are Still Out There. It's like it's a series of stories. It's just going to warm the cockles of your little ruffian hearts is what's going to happen. So, yeah, we'll talk about number three, triple dipper. Good folks are still out there. All right, hey, listen, let me jump over here to my comments. And I want to remind you guys that Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics across North Alabama, places like Atala, Anniston, Gadsden, five locations around the Birmingham area, Southern Immediate Care, it opens 7 days a week, and they are the sponsor of the daily Right Side Way monologue, and we appreciate it. So let me jump in here. I've got a friend who had one of those, underground electric fences. You know what I'm talking about? The kind where you can't see it, but the wire is buried in a perimeter around the yard. And his dog, you know, wore a collar. And the collar had a little box on it. The dog would shock him if he crossed over the invisible barrier. It doesn't take long for the dog to figure it out. I used to go jogging through my neighborhood near one of those yards. The first time I went down that route, this big black lab came just charging off the front porch of the house towards me, barking up a storm, looking like he was a trained killer. Now, I'm a dog person, but I thought this was a bite moment. I thought it was about to happen. And then the dog came to a screeching halt 3 feet back from the curb. Just like, just stopped. And I noticed it had a little box on its collar and, yep, invisible fence. After that, I ran by with impunity. Well, the funny thing is, though, the fence can be a deterrent, even if the power goes off. You see, the dog learns where the problem is. The dog's behavior is then modified by the mere possibility of the shock. And I'll be honest, that concept works well on people, too. And no, I'm not advocating for people to wear shock collars. I can already picture some of the emails I'm going to get now. That's not what I'm saying. But seriously, have you ever had one of those moments when you changed what you were going to do, literally changed it, because of the mere possibility of negative consequences? I mean, we all have. I mean, when I was in Baghdad, we had some extremists we detained in a raid. Intel guys came and interrogated them, determined there was not enough to send them forward, so we had to release them. But we knew they were dirty. We knew they were jihadists. And I remember when the ops sergeant and I were releasing them near the gate of the FOB. We both told them that we'd be watching them. And then, like kind of almost like on a whim, we both pulled out our pocket GPSs and implied that they were like mini TVs and we could access satellite images of whatever those two knuckleheads were doing anytime we wanted to. And their eyes got huge, and they left looking over their shoulder at us. It was fun. All we did was throw a little man-sized version of the electric fence out there in the mere possibility of a shock. But look, where it's not fun, where it's not even legal, is when the government takes certain actions with the sole intent of shutting down constitutional freedoms, especially freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is sacred in this country. There's a reason why it was the very First Amendment, the very first one on the list. And the Supreme Court of the United States does not take kindly to attempts by the government to take certain actions that the courts of this land refer to as having a chilling effect. A chilling effect. In essence, the government may not be able to follow through on its proposals, but the mere fact that it threatens to do so has a chilling effect on citizens speaking out due to the fear of the mere potential for consequences. So lawyer Phil here for a minute, some legal history for you. The Supreme Court developed and explained what is known as the chilling effect doctrine in several opinions that were issued back during the McCarthy era, involving legislation and regulations aimed at suspected communists and other so-called subversives. So in one case called Bagot v. Bullitt, 1964, the court struck down the loyalty oaths that were required of state employees. Wow. The court asserted that the threat of sanctions may deter almost as potently as the actual application of sanctions. It's like saying the fence power is turned off, but the dog is still scared of the shock. In another case, one called Lamont v. the Postmaster General, 1965, the court struck down a postal regulation that required any individuals who wished to receive communist literature to first have to sign up at the post office. Now, I'm not for communism at all, but I recognize that freedom of assembly and association and speech are still supposed to be protected. So although the program in that case included no sanctions against recipients, the court said it would chill individuals who wanted the material but were afraid to make it known to the government. The chilling effect of such governmental regulations was exacerbated by widespread knowledge that under the guidance of Director J. Edgar Hoover, that the FBI had gathered up dossiers recording the political beliefs and associations of millions of Americans suspected of so-called un-American views and activities. That chilling effect doctrine, it really came of age, though, in a case called Dombrowski v. Feister, 1965 again, a case involving what was known as the Louisiana Subversive Activities Law, in which the state of Louisiana was requiring civil rights groups to have to register as communist front organizations. So in a groundbreaking opinion written by Justice William Brennan, the court ruled that not only was the Louisiana law unconstitutional, but that federal courts could enjoin the state of Louisiana from bringing prosecutions under it. You see, the bottom line here, despite all that legal history, I'll just say it for you plainly. When the government even intimates that it will take certain actions, even if only to, quote, promote good order or to create an adequate database, it's as if you're the dog wearing the shock collar. You don't even know if the power's on, but you're sort of afraid to try. But unlike the dog, citizens of this nation are protected from such abuse. And sure, I mean, there's limitations. I mean, I can't go in incite violence or issue threats of harm. I can't yell fire in a crowded theater. And back when I worked with a security clearance, I couldn't divulge classified information. Certain aspects of society have restrictions on them, like the military. But listen, not the average John and Jane citizen. No. Generally speaking, the government has no right, no acceptable legal right, to chill the rights of citizens to voice their opinions. And I mean, it's all the more telling, too, when you consider what Biden's Attorney General Merrick Garland did not long ago. Think about this. Merrick Garland, a former judge, nominated by Obama for the Supreme Court, he issued a memorandum indicating that he was directing the Department of Justice and the FBI to begin reviewing the concerns of the National Association of School Boards about parents actually speaking out against board members. No specifics. Just going to start taking some steps, you understand. Looking at the question raised by the association as the possible domestic terrorism of parents. John and Jane Citizen. Well, he had no authority. He had no legal grounds. There's no probable cause to initiate a surveillance state activity like that. The FBI does not have localized jurisdiction over local issues. But what if he could just, you know, announce it? Just, hey, Merrick Garland, let it be known you're looking into it. And by doing so, what does it do? It has a chilling effect on attempts to speak out by average folks who are just fed up with liberal social activism in their local schools. This is precisely the kind of McCarthyism the Supreme Court considered when it generated the chilling effect doctrine. So yeah, Merrick Garland and his thug tactics and empty threats, they can go pound sand. When the day comes that we no longer have the right, the actual right, to speak on behalf of our children's education and welfare, then we have ceased to be a free nation. And we will be left to do nothing more than tell our kids about what it used to be like to live in a free nation. So don't be like the dog that fears the possibility of the shock even when the power is off. You know your rights. You cross that line. Wake up, Right Side Ruffians. We've got this. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. The chilling effect doctrine. It's real. It means, you know what, they might not take action, but they might say a little something-something that makes you feel like you can't take action. And when they do that, they may not have actually curtailed your civil liberties, but they certainly put a chilling effect on you enforcing them or acting on them. Wow. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.